Well, let's take our Bibles and we're going to turn to several passages. We've been kind of working through this. Go to Jeremiah chapter 29, if we'll first. And Psalm 119, we used these scriptures last week. I had a little bit more I wanted to deal with in this. Next 2 weeks, I want you to be here. There's some critical messages I want us to hear. We've been working on this kind of with a tongue-in-cheek, seeking God on my terms. Frankly, if you're seeking God on your terms, you're not seeking God. But so it's kind of facetiously, I've entitled it, Seeking God on My Terms. And we've seen some things that cause an issue. I'll quickly touch on those. But I want you to see something today that's very important, kind of we've been singing about a little bit here this morning as well. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 10. The Israelites have been seeking God on their terms. You go back and read the Old Testament. They did what they wanted to do, as they wanted to do. And if God was in on it, fine. If He wasn't in it, that was fine. If they liked what God was doing, they were in on it. But if they didn't, then they weren't. And sometimes I think we forget that God's bigger than we are. You know, the old saying, you can't fight City Hall. People say, well, I can fight City Hall. But people try to fight God for a long time. They've been trying to do what they want to do. And they don't understand why they keep, life kind of keeps hitting a wall. See, if you're fighting God, that's a very proud thing to do. And God resists the proud. And I don't know about you, but I don't want God resisting me. Now, He may just kind of play with you a little bit there. But the fact is, if you just keep pushing, He's just going to put a wall up. You're not getting anywhere. Don't resist God. Now, He gives grace to the humble. In fact, listen, there's some folks who are humble that get a whole lot further than people who are proud. We say, well, they look like they're getting a long way. Wait a minute. I know their end. And it's cool. It will catch up to them. And so Israel's been doing what they've wanted to do, and He has been warning them. Now, you get straightened out, or if you don't straighten out, I'm going to send you to the woodshed. We're going to have to discipline you, Israel. And He was warning them and warning them. And finally, Jeremiah says, well, you know, it's going to happen. But He gives, we'll see it in here in this passage. God says, He gives them a time limit on their time out, if you will. They're going to go into captivity for 70 years. Now, you see in this passage here, I'm going to read real quickly. God's not doing it because He hates them. God's not doing that because He's just so frustrated He wants to get back at them. It's not retaliation, not retribution, it's not punishment. The fact is, it's simply that He wants them to get themselves right with Him. And so, He's trying to get their attention. So look at verse number 10, Jeremiah 29. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished. Now, it's interesting, he uses that word accomplished. It didn't say after you've endured 70 years, then you go back and do what you want. No. 70 years are accomplished. Those 70 years are hopefully going to get their attention. They're going to be accomplished. Israel still got themselves in a lot of mess. But you know what? They worshiped all kinds of gods of the Canaanites and all kinds of crazy things. After they come back from captivity, you don't see that anymore, at least. Now, they trust in their own selves and their own good works, but at least there were some things that were accomplished. He says, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. I'm going to come back and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Why? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, hope. I'm telling you this because I know there's hope. Don't go into despair. I'm trying to get your attention, but I'm doing this because my thoughts are to restore you. And by the way, some of the things that I said last week and may say this week, my thoughts for you are good thoughts, not evil thoughts. I don't want to hurt anybody, but sometimes you have to know the truth so that you can fix the issues and have the victory God wants us to have. So he says, I want you to have some hope, verse 12. Then, when all that's done, when you finally got your attention, then shall ye, verse 12, shall ye call upon me. And ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I've used that term in contrast to the term of seeking God in our own terms. If we're seeking God on our own terms, we're not seeking Him with our whole heart, because our heart still belongs to us. If we seek God with all our heart, then we're not seeking Him on our terms, because our heart belongs to Him. It's kind of like saying, I want to be married, but I'm going to do it on my terms, and you're on my rules. There's my wife down here, if you're visiting. It's on my rules. I'm going to do it my way. It's my way or the highway. That's the way it's going to be. Well, and then after watching, you're going to think, well, okay, does he love me? And so we have to, so God is asking us to seek Him. That's, you can turn from there and go to Psalm 119. Go back about, a half an inch or something. Maybe a quarter of an inch to the left. Psalm 119. Read these verses from last week. I want you to see this. You have these back in your mind. Psalm 119, verse number 1. I want you to see a recurring theme here. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And I hate to do this, but just so you understand, remember we started all this with talking about the straight and narrow way. The straight gate is Jesus Christ who gets us into heaven. The straight way, the narrow way, is the path that God wants us to live on. Well, that's also called the paths of righteousness. That limits. You can't get out in sin and live in righteousness at the same time. And so he says, I want you to be on the path of righteousness that it says in Psalm 23. Now, how do you know where the path of righteousness is? Well, you'll walk in the light of the Word of God. You read the Word of God, the Word of God says, well, this is righteousness, so that's what we're going to do. This is not righteousness, so we're not going to do that. So we follow the light of the Word of God to stay on that little narrow path, that path of righteousness. And while we're walking on that path, we're walking where God walks, because He walks where there is no darkness at all. He walks in the light. If you want to have fellowship with Him, you've got to walk where He walks. He walks in the light. Now, if that's where He walks, then you're walking in the Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord is going to lead you. He's right there with you. If there's a problem, He's going to carry you through. If you need a little extra oomph, He's going to help you through. But if you're down here in a mess, doing your own thing, you're not walking in the light, you're not walking with Him, He's not there to help you through. So He says, blessed, happy, having a good time. By the way, did you wake up this morning? It's nice out there. Yeah, I'm going to say, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful... Anyway, when you walk with Him, you're blessed, you're having a good time. So blessed are the undefiled, the ones who haven't messed up their walk with the Lord. They're walking where He wants. They walk in the law of the Lord. What does that mean? They've been watching where the light of the Word is showing them to step through the Word, the law, and they're happy. It told me where to go. My wife and all our teachers went down to Maryland for some training for before school started. And there's a week's worth of training through. We do the ACE program with our upper grades, and we went down with they have certain places where you can go and get more training and so forth, make sure you're doing it. And she filed the GPS down. Everything was fine. Then she told me that they were going to leave, and I said, okay, it's about an hour and 20 minutes. You ought to be back home. Well, all the time passed and went by. They still weren't hurt, weren't here. She turned on the GPS to come home, and she said, all of a sudden, they found themselves on a dirt road. I mean, it was not telling them where to go. And by the way, that's the way the world is. He'll tell you all kinds of things, and you're going to be stuck out in the middle of nowhere. It looks good. But listen, we got to follow the roadmap of God's Word, to walk in His Lord, in His Word. And so if we walk in the way, and we're going to be happy. Verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. We'll keep the testimony. We're back in the Word of God. And seek him with a whole heart. In other words, they stick right with the map. They're not one of these people, well, ladies, you've heard it. I know where I'm going. It's a shortcut. All right? That's not what we're going to say. Oh, I can get to where God wants me to go. I know how to do this. I'm all right. Then I'll get back on the road. I'll be good. No, 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 no. You hang tight to the roadmap right here, because sure enough, we're going to end up on a dirt road someplace in the Briars. Verse 3. They also do know iniquity. They walk in the ways. That word iniquity means to distort righteousness. In other words, they're going along and say, well, that's probably good, but you know what? I think I can make it right over here. They're not twisting truth. They're not playing with it. They're just taking it for what it says and keeps going. Verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Stay on that roadmap. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Let's jump down to verse number 9. Wherewithal shall young men cleanse his way? By taking heed unto the word of God. So what do you do? I got off. I'm in a mess. What do? I'm in a mud puddle. Go back and look at the map. Find out where we're supposed to be. Get back on the right road there and move on. Verse 10. With my whole heart, not on my terms, off my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Lord, don't let me get my face off that map. Don't let me get my eyes on something else. That sign over there says there's a Dairy Queen down this road. I'm sure we're going to go down there and get that thing and get lost. Verse 11, thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What's he saying? I've been trying to memorize the road map. I've been trying to memorize the roadmap. And blessed is that man who doesn't walk in the counsel of ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the roadmap of God. Jump over to verse 30 real quick. Psalm 119, verse 30. I've chosen the way of truth. That's our choice. I decide I'm going to follow the roadmap. I decide I'm not going to listen to something else going on there. I'm going to find truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I've got the roadmap right out here in front of me. We're going to figure out how to do this. I'm going to keep it right in front of me so I don't mess up. I will run the way of thy commandment when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. What's he saying? I'm determined to do this on your terms, God, with my whole heart, not my term. Verse 34. Give me understanding, and I will keep thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart. I want to look at one aspect here this morning. Next week we've got something I really want you to hear. And I think it's going to be very applicable. And a week after that, next week we're going to create an issue. The week after that, we're going to try to solve that issue. So I want you to be here. But this morning, we're going to talk on this topic. If you can't trust God, who can you trust? If you can't trust God, then who can you trust? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we want to stick by it, keep it, guard it, make it part of who we are, memorize it, keep it in front of us so we can be exactly where you want us to be. Let the light shine on the path where you want us to be so that we're walking with the Spirit in the paths of righteousness. And it may be a real narrow road. No one else much right might be even on the road. That makes no difference. It's your road. Where you want us to be is the road to victory, and your word shall stand. Mountains may fall, turn into sand. Your road, your word will stand. So Lord, pray that you speak to our hearts here this morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, and I know we've used these passages, but there are some things that I think need to be said clearly and plainly, and maybe even bluntly. Our society is falling apart. It's breaking up faster. It's coming apart in bigger chunks all the time. Mass killings are no longer an unusual event. They're no longer a yearly event or a monthly event. They've become a weekly event, sometimes a daily event. People are hopeless and hurting, and yet they're selfish and sinful. I mentioned there, Psalm 42 and 43 speak of being cast down. That means in depression. The writer asks himself, why am I depressed? In fact, he even says in chapter 42, he says, I go to church with everybody else. I go in the congregation and we sing and we praise the Lord. And yet I feel hopeless and helpless. He goes, well, it's not that I'm not around God and God's people. It's that I'm not hoping in God, an expected end. There's no confident expectation in God. Either I or the ones that I have influence on me do not take God seriously enough to actually place our hope in the Lord. When we seek God on our terms, we're not getting the full impact of who God is. When we do not have the full vision of who God is, we don't have a God that can handle everything. Let me say that again. When we don't have a vision of who God is, then you really don't have a God who can take care of things. And when you, in your heart, and when you don't have a God who can take care of things, you're out on your own and you know it. If we want to see all that God is, so we truly have a God in whom we can place our hope, we must seek God according to His terms and not ours. We are to walk on the narrow way, which is the way of righteousness. And we will know where to walk when we walk in the light of God's Word. And when we walk in the light of God's Word, we're walking with God and thus in the Spirit of God. And we will have that comfort that we need to face the days ahead, no matter what those days may bring. But as soon as we begin making adjustments to the route that God has ordained, we're no longer on the narrow way or the righteous path. We're not following the light of God's Word, but we are leaning on our own understanding. And we will see the work of the flesh in our lives rather than the fruit of the Spirit. And we will see the curse of God rather than the blessings of God. And if we want to see God do great things in us and through us, we must find God, and we will find Him when we search for Him with all our heart, not on our terms. I'll come to God as soon as you all stop talking about this sin that I'm okay with or this policy that I think is all right. We got to come to God on His terms, in His law, His precepts, His statutes, or we're not coming to God. Listen, if your kids came up to you, okay, I'll obey, but here's the conditions. Now someone's going to say, okay, here's the condition. No, we got conditions. This is the condition. I'm dad, you're the kid. Done. That's the conditions in which we're having our household here. Now, I don't do a smart aleck. I have to do it nicely, but firmly, that's the deal. Now, real quick, from our time previous, we are to seek God with all our hearts, right? So that means to seek God, we're seeking God. We're not seeking things, we're not seeking peace, we're not seeking relief from this or that. We're seeking God. That's what He wants, a relationship with us. To seek God, we seek to be rid of any obstacle or barrier that's between us and God. And what separates us from our God is our sin, Isaiah 59 says. Sin has separated us from our God. Sin is what gets us off the path. We're not where He wants us to be. Sin is a divider from us and God. And if we seek God, we must seek to be rid of sin. Now, when the Word of God goes into your heart, sin runs out the back door. That's the truth. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto the according to the word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, or let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. You want to get rid of the sin that separates you from God, then you need to, what you got to do is fill ourselves up with the truth of the will of God, of the word of God. So to seek God with all our hearts, we need to seek the word of God with all our hearts. Seeking the Lord with all your heart means giving up anything that keeps us from Him. To seek God with your whole heart, we must seek God above all other people. He says, you need to love me more than father or mother, your wife or children, and your own life also. Now that doesn't mean you hate them. I don't want to have me around them, but the fact is He takes precedence. There's only one God who gives you life. There's only one God who gives you breath to breathe. There's only one God that is sustaining you, providing your needs, that gives you power to get well. There's only one God who sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross to pay for your sins and give you eternal life. Do I love my wife? I do. And I will say I love her with all my heart. But the fact is I love God with all my heart and a little bit more. She's second, but He has to be first. If He's not first, she's not going to get a good husband. If I want her to have what she needs out of me, I've got to make Him Lord first in my life. If I want my kids to have what they need as a father, then I've got to make Him first in my life. I need to make Him first, make her second, so they're not being brought up in a dysfunctional home. I need Him first so I'm not in a dysfunctional marriage. If we're not careful, we'll pay them off. Well, we're not going to go to church this week. I'm going to take her to some resort this week, and we're going to, it's just the two of us, and we're going to be like, I want to make sure she knows she's first. Wrong. You do that on Saturday. Well, Saturday, the only day I mow the lawn. Well, then mow the lawn someplace else or let it grow. Right now, it's not even growing enough to hardly mow at my house. So what you know what you're saying? The grass is worth more to you than going to church. If I can stay home and mow the grass so that I can take her on Sunday, or I can take her, I can't do it on Saturday because I've got to mow the grass, then what I've said is mowing the grass is more important than God. You see, we don't look at it that way, but listen, He is first in our time and our energy and our effort and our finances. If you're going to seek Him with all your heart, you've got to seek Him with all your heart. Now, if all this is true, it's foolish not to seek God with all our heart. A wise person, we talked about that, will do that. A foolish person says, I don't need Him. And we wonder why, now this is new here, we wonder why we seem trapped in troubles and tribulations in our lives. John 8:31 says this, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue, we did this on Wednesday night. Again, I don't know how the Lord puts this all together like this, because this was not the way I timed, but He pulls it together. Jesus says to those who believed on Jesus, those who were trusting Him as Savior, and I'm going to take for granted that the vast majority of you know Jesus Christ as Savior, know you're going to heaven. This is what He said. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. The word disciple means learner. Learner. So you're learning what truth is. If you continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, again, we want to be disciples in pews. Well, just because we're sitting in a pew doesn't mean we're a disciple. We can listen to a lot of it wash past our ears. But if we're going to be learners, then we're disciples. And He says, if you continue my word, and then you shall be my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You want to be free from all this mess, all the junk that's controlling your life? The way we're going to eventually get out of this is by following the truth. To follow the truth, we need to continue in the Word. Wednesday night, we used that passage. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. So we're supposed to abide in Him. So without Him, we can do nothing. That word abide is the same Greek word as continue. This is why we come to church every time the doors are open. This is why we read the Bible if we get a chance. If we have any opportunity, we read the Bible. We can spend some time learning the Word of God. Because in it are the precepts and the statutes that tells us how to stay on the right path. So we're walking in the Spirit, and we're not walking in the mess in the world. We're walking in the light. We're in the paths of righteousness, and we're going to be blessed. Happy is that man who walks in that path. Now, 2 Peter 1, you've heard me mention this so many times. He says, giving all diligence to add to your faith. All right, let me give you number 3 here now. Ready? If you're seeking God with all your heart, you will seek God out whenever, wherever you can come in contact with Him. I believe that. Remember when you got your eyes on a certain girl, guys? And somehow you just showed up the same place they were? Somehow you just happened to be right in her line of sight. Or ladies, you did the same thing. You know what? Or you, at least you thought about doing that. Wherever God is, that's where I want to be. Wherever the Word of God is being pronounced, that's where I want to be. We should rearrange our lives to be where the Word of God is being taught and proclaimed. Listen, we should not be demanding God to meet on our time. Yes, God is everywhere. He can meet any time. God can give instructions on how to meet with Him. But He did. He gave us instructions. When to meet with Him, where to meet with Him. And if you change God's schedule, you're not seeking God. You're seeking what you can get out of God. To seek God with all our heart assumes respect and awe and fear of God. Telling God when you want to meet with Him and how you want to meet with Him is not fearing God. It's proud. You're not going to get what you want out of your relationship with God until you realize you are only able to come to God because of sheer mercy and not expecting God to come to you. Sometimes you want to say, well, show some respect. This is God. If you're seeking God on your terms, do not expect to see the fullness of God's hand on your life. Now, here's where I want to really spend some time this morning. Let me give you number 4 here. You probably missed number 1, didn't you? 1 is, if it's all true, it's foolish not to seek God with all our hearts. 2, we wonder why we seem trapped in troubles and tribulations in our lives. It's because we're not seeking with all our heart. 3, if you're seeking God with all your heart, you're going to seek Him out wherever, however you can find Him. Number 4, ready? We say we're seeking the Lord with all our hearts. Now watch me. But we're not sure the Bible is good enough for us. I want to spend a little time on this morning. We say, well, God's good. Yeah, I understand. But we're not sure that the Word of God is good enough for us. Some folks will say they believe the Bible. But if some professor, no more than God, writes a book and discredits portions of the Bible, some of us will doubt the Word of God because of the Word of man. And they'll turn right around and say, well, you know, that Bible was only written by men. Well, who wrote the book you're reading? I guarantee you that one was written by a man. And I'll guarantee you, you study it, it's not going to come out like this one did. The History Channel says that Noah's Ark was a great big round bowl-shaped basket. Remember that night we saw that? Great big round bowl-shaped basket. Got the idea from Babylon. That's what it really was. And it came around, adjusted. And finally, you know, when Moses wrote that down, of course that wasn't Moses, somebody else wrote that. And, you know, they just want to rip it all up. In other words, anything that makes God God, well, that can't be true. And yet they want to believe in God. They want to believe that he is what he says he is, but they take his word and shred it. Many people lay the Bible open on the table while they're watching the History Channel and Oprah and listen to the person next door pontificate and some prosperity gospel preacher on TV, and they want to take the word of God. And you know what? They are so confused. They're as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. They just turn around and spin around. Their mind doesn't know what to do. Well, this person said this. This person, study to show thyself approved. Learn. How am I supposed to know the word of God? The Holy Spirit says he'll teach you with all diligence. Then don't just go. And Judah went out and hanged himself. Go and do thou likewise. No, I mean, you know, that's the way people read their Bible. That's not the way you, it's all there. It was written in a way that was supposed to be read in context. Study it. I said on Wednesday night, I don't like studying. Now, I like having studied. And I like having truth to give you. Now, my wife and my son, they just eat it up. They just like to study. I mean, I'm glad. There's actually sometimes I'll go in and ask my son, all right, tell me something here. But we all have our different gifts. I don't really like studying. In fact, for years and years and years, to be honest with you, I didn't do a whole lot of Bible reading. But I went to church every time the door was open, a place where they preached the Bible. I'm not saying we get up and down and read a bunch of things and you say this and I say that and Lord bless you and da-da-da-da-da. And all the, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying where you go in and they put a bunch of stuff on the screen and you know a bunch of songs you don't know and a bunch of ooh baby sisters standing in the front there and wiggle and jiggle while the boogie boys play in the band and we're listening, we're having a good time for the first 45 minutes. And I'm not trying to be facetious here. Well, being facetious, I'm trying to be mean, being facetious here, but that, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about learning the word of God. That's why here you say, well, you know, when he gets to talking, he thinks he's really something because he just talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. No, it's not about me talking. It's about you knowing the word of God. I'll guarantee you 90% of us don't go home and read their Bible. Now, we should. We got a lot of ladies, especially my wife's class. They go home and read their Bible, and they're checking off. That's good. And they're learning things. Wonderful. You should do that. And I do that. But if you just came Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, maybe on Friday night or whatever, you know, you'd be surprised how much you would know if you just stick with it. And how things will say, it's the foolishness of preaching. And I know you think my preaching is pretty foolish sometimes, but it works. Now watch. You're not going to search for the Lord with all your heart if you're not willing to search God's word with all your heart. You cannot search for the Lord with all your heart if you're not sure you believe his word. Either God's word is forever settled in heaven, or it is not. If not, then throw it out. Let's open up a gym back here and make some money. All these gyms around here, we'll put all the equipment in here, and then we'll put a gym out back, and we'll put some showers back there, and just make some money or something. Everybody build up their flesh instead of their heart, their soul. I'm not against gyms. Don't get me wrong, I don't go very often. I'm not sure I know what one looks like on the inside, to be honest, except for the commercials. But I'm not against gyms. Okay. But if it's not true, why are we wasting our time? Now, if you want to look at something with me, hang tight. If you're still near Psalm 119, look at verse 89. Psalm 119:89. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. It's settled. It's done. Not changing. We're not going to find something and all of a sudden, wait. Found some new revelation. That part's not true. Never was true. This is what's true now. No. It's settled in heaven. Look at verse 125. 119, 125. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Look at verse. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Our pastor a little while ago said, I have chosen truth. I've decided, I've made a decision. His word is settled forever in heaven. But he wants it. For some reason, it's not forever settled in some parts. Isaiah 40 says, the grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. You're in Psalm. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33, 11. So, well, I'm not sure I know what to do. Well, here we go. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. God's got truth he wants to give you. Nothing has changed. I should have done this one earlier. Psalm 119, 151 says this. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. I'm going faster than you are. Psalm 12, this is important. Look at Psalm 12, verse 6. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Everything that needed to be preserved in the Word of God has been preserved. It's there. Now, I know when you go from one language to another, it has a little different twist on it. How many have ever eaten fresh peaches? How many have ever eaten preserved peaches? Are they both peaches? But a little different. The texture's a little different. The taste's a little different. Pour a little extra sugar in there when you preserve them. But they're all peaches. This is the Word of God. You put in another translation, another language, there might be a little bit of twist in there, it might taste a little different, but we all know what we're talking about. If you are saved, hang on tight here with me. Just reason with me. If you're saved, then the Bible should be good enough for you. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I will mention this. We still use an old King James Bible around here. There's a reason why I do that. First of all, we should use one translation across the church because they don't all say the same thing. Now, they don't all sort, the things that are different are not the same. There's thousands of manuscripts that agree with what's called the Textus Receptus, the received text, the traditional text, the Byzantine text. Whatever you want to call it. All the other translations, including the NIV, the NSAB, even the New King James has some issues in there. All these different translations. The main manuscripts, I'm not getting mad at you. A lot of it's okay, but the main manuscripts that they use for those translations were two or three, four that don't agree with these old manuscripts. This is the Bible they used in the Great Awakening, the great revivals of early America in the 1700s. That really made a difference. It was the manuscripts that we get the King James from. The other ones, they leave things out. I'm not mad at you. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm just telling you, they leave things out. They change some things. They twist some things around. And the manuscripts that they use don't even agree with each other 3,000 times in the Gospels alone. Whole sections are taken out. Things are twisted around because a man who wanted to use them believed in baptismal regeneration. They believe that you're saved when you get wet in baptism. Bible doesn't teach that, never did teach that. But they've taken out some key verses that fight against that so they can say, well, it's okay, it doesn't say that you shouldn't. I'm not trying to be mean. So it's hard words to understand. Learn them. Any of you kids have a computer home? Okay. How many gigs is your hard drive? Any idea? Don't have any idea? Well, gigs wasn't even a word till 10, 15 years ago. But most people would tell you, I got a 5G phone now, or 4G phone. Gig? When I was growing up, that was a job for me to do as a musician. Got a gig. What am I saying? You learn the words if you use them. We got some guys who've done building in here. How many know what a floor joist is? Raise your hand. How many people say, well, I don't know what a floor joist is. I think it's something you do when two knights of Arthur's round table, they go joisting. No. It's a good word. You got to know what it means. It's simply it's one of those beams going across the floor. You're going to put the subfloor on. That's all it is. Or it's something you're going to put the ceiling. It's a joist. It simply goes between the two. No big deal. You can understand God's word. We just need to learn to use it. Now, I didn't spend a lot of time on that. But God has preserved his word, and we need to make use of it. What gives us the right to determine the validity of God's word? What gives us the right to censor God's word? What gives us the right, the credentials do we have to edit God's word? Let's just take it for what it is. It's God's word. Now, if you throw out the Bible, now watch me. Well, I don't like this part. I don't like this part. You throw out the Bible, you must also throw out your salvation. Because where do we learn it? Right here. Paul said to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's where we learn salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God as profitable for doctrine. That's what's right. For reproof, that's what's not right. For correction, it's how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, how to stay right, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God saves us, and then it changes and sanctifies us. If you don't want to believe the God word of this part, then you don't. You have nothing to base your salvation on. Throw it all out. Because he claims he kept it, preserved it. If you throw out, you have nothing. If you think you're saved and the Bible's not good enough for you to answer your questions, then you may not be saved. You're listening to the world. If the Bible's not for sure, then how do you know your salvation is sure? I tell you what happened. Listen, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word. Says He will, but God isn't all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Spirit will speak to your heart about the veracity of God's Word. And you know what? Listen, when I got saved, I didn't understand a lot about the Bible, but I knew it was true. I don't know, I just knew it was true. How do you know? It just has to be. There's no book like it. And if the Spirit is not telling you to accept the Word of God as it is, then maybe you don't have the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. A lot of people will pray 1, 2, 3 after me. Okay, I guess I made my reservation. I'm going to heaven. No, you're saved by faith. By grace through faith. Not just 1, 2, 3, pray after me. Now, we ought to call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that's true. But with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With a heart, not on my terms. Listen, if you came to Jesus and said, well, I want to get saved, but I don't want to do all this other stuff. I don't want to believe all this other stuff. I'll take salvation. I'll take heaven, but I don't want all this stuff. you came to Jesus on your terms, if I were you, I'd go back and check it. I'd go back and check it. We may struggle with this because the world has had such an impact on us. But down deep in our heart, there must be a sense that after all things are considered, the Bible's true. We need to take the Bible as it is to be saved in the first place. And if you can't believe the rest of God's Word, how you can believe any of it, including the part on salvation? I think I've finished that with you. Now, some folks say they're saved, but they need another book or man's reasoning to prove the other parts of the Bible were true. Better be careful with that. You're not going to be settled in your own heart if you just take God's word for it. I think the Holy Spirit's going to confirm in your heart. Romans 8 says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Listen, if you need the testimony of men on the History Channel to verify your belief in the Word of God, I'm not saying it's not some interesting things and it helped. I'm not saying he's wrong to, see some things, and they found the Hittites and they found Nineveh, and that's all fine. It's good. That's all right. But if you have to have that in order to believe God, even when you're not willing to take God's word on it, you better watch out. God forbid, it says in Romans 3, "Let God be true and every man a liar, as is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings." We wonder why the Lord's not directing our paths. Now, hang on tight with me. I'm going back to where we were. Talking about seeking the Lord on our terms. Trying to stay on the path. The little path, no one else, doesn't see very many people on, but it's a path of righteousness with the light of God's Word telling us where to walk so that we're walking with God and the Spirit of God. Now, see, well, I'm not sure I know where I'm supposed to walk. We wonder why the Lord's not directing our paths. There must be something defective, we think, with the promise of God. Because he's not directing my path. It's not working. Proverbs 3:5 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Not on your terms, on God's terms. "Lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways." Every time, every turn, every place, every effort, "in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." But if you're seeking him on your terms, then I'll guarantee you, you're not seeking him with all your heart. And you're not seeking him in all thy ways. In fact, he goes on to say, "Be not wise in thine own eyes for the fear of the Lord." I'm sorry, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." If we're not being direct, if he's not directing our paths, apparently, we're not trusting the Lord with all our heart. We're still leaning somewhat on our own understanding. Apparently, we're not checking in with headquarters before we make decisions, but we're somewhat wise in our own eyes. We must be walking in the light of God's Word if we're going to get this. Why? Apparently, we are still not sure we want to trust and obey it. We will go so far down the path of righteousness with the Lord, and when the road gets tough, the road gets narrow, the road gets steep, we take back the job of navigation and go on our own understanding again. Our terms are, we trust God when we agree with God. Isn't that what our terms are? We trust Him when we agree with Him. Maybe we don't fear the Lord as we should. And we're not departing from evil all the way. Listen, you depart from most evil. But there are a few things that no one will notice that you're clinging to. Well, God knows. Jeremiah 17, "The heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Next verse, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Ask yourself a question. Do I really want to know what God thinks about a subject? And will I accept it when truth is revealed. Do I really want to know? And will I accept it when it's revealed? Psalm 119:30 says, we've said it, I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. I will observe it with my whole heart. If you truly want to know what the Lord thinks on a matter, you're going to have to decide ahead of time. You're going to do and accept what God says, whether you like the answer or not. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, shall I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and hate every false way. One last little illustration, I'm done. Do you feel as if God is hiding from you and cannot be found? The Lord says, I know my thoughts. I want to give you an expected end, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I apparently, if you feel like God's hiding you, then you're not searching for him with all your heart. Re-examine your heart. Re-examine your life. Are you really seeking God with all your heart? The other possibility is that the problem is with God. He's a liar. I think there's a better chance that we're missing something and not truly seeking the Lord with all our hearts than that God's a liar. If you want God, but you want him on your terms, in any way, don't expect to have him in any way. There's a story in the Bible. A fellow by the name of Jehoiakim. He's a king. And Jeremiah wrote the words of the Lord down and brought them to the king. Well, the king is going to do whatever he wants. By the way, this is right before they went to the woodshed for 70 years to Babylon. Says it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. I'll skip some verses. It says in verse 23, it came to pass when Jehudi, that was the man who read it to him, had read three or four leaves to the king cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Didn't like that part of the Bible, so they cut it out and threw it in the fire. Jump down to chapter 36, verse 27. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein? Saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come, destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. God's word did not pass away, just wrote down again. What can we do to start this right now? Well, we can. We can do this right. If you've been seeking God on your own terms, thus, in reality, not truly seeking God with your whole heart, and thus you have not been seeing the hand of God in your life, at least not as you should, you can change that. If I was to confess it, forsake it, and God will give you mercy and reestablish you in your walk with God. One verse. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left a few in number among the heathen, where the Lord shall lead you. There ye shall serve gods and work of men's hands, wood and stone, do stupid stuff, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Is the Word of God good enough for you? You need to determine to esteem that He's right in all things. I'm serious. God has preserved it. You live by it. And God will bless it. Father, thank You for Your Word. Really a simple message, but a tough one that mankind has struggled with for ages and ages and ages. Lord, may we seek You with all our heart, which means we need to take Your Word and believe it with all our heart. Heads are bowed.